Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're number two. So we went and did our Miracle on Ice. We took on Big Radio, right? We took on the 96.5 morning team. We took on the afternoon drive of all of Hartford.
All of Hartford.
NPR who? Who NPR no.
What? What?
our little two-hour program.
Two hours a week.
Beat them all except for Brian and Company, which we're happy to be in that good company.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was all thanks to you guys taking a moment. I mean, to go through this tedious questionnaire thing that The Current put together for you to then vote for our little program. And I found out Tuesday during the Tech Talk segment of with Brian and Company. I had no idea. And he's like, you guys came in number two. We're like, what? Couldn't believe it, but I knew we had a great audience, and we have a great audience.
Yeah, I've always felt we had the best audience in the world.
I agree.
And now I know for a fact that we have the best audience in the world.
It's really just so cool that you guys took a moment and filled that silly thing out for us and said, hey, we like Computer Talk. So we really, really appreciate it. Now, of course, Dennis and I are going to now walk around with a completely different air about us. Our pinkies will be up when we drink our tea. No, I'm just kidding. We just really appreciate that you did this for us. And we can't believe it that we were able to beat all of the other radio stations in Connecticut.
Yeah, it was a clean sweep for 1080.
Yeah, of course 1080's got the best. I mean, 1080 is a 100-year-old, 50,000-watt flamethrower of a news talk station, and we are honored to be on it, number one. And to have you guys vote us number two is just, you know, it's really great. It's just cool that we, I mean, imagine if we won, Brian would be on the never. But we didn't. I'm almost glad we didn't.
In a way.
But it was really great that you guys voted for us and brought us in as the first runner-up, i.e. number two. So thank you. But another, let's get to work here, get to what you're here for. Any tech news you want to start with there, Dennis?
Well, yeah, I'd like to cover a story about something that happened just about 50 years ago.
Okay. All right.
It was the invention of the digital camera.
50 years?
50 years ago.
We started talking about it maybe 25 years ago.
That's true. Yeah. Now, 50 years ago, an engineer at Kodak came up with a way to use a silicon chip to take a photo and then store it as digital data.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
50 years ago, though.
50 years ago.
The amount of storage was all like floppy disks, 8-inch floppy disks.
Not even that at that time. Yeah. Not even that.
So it would have been a big problem.
Well, right. And that's part of the issue. Yeah. Now, I've got a story here that I'm going to share about all of this. So you can read about it. I'm not going to get into too much detail. Mm-hmm. But since digital cameras, you know, came out and hit the big time over the last 25 years, people have been wondering why Kodak kind of sat on this technology as long as they did before it actually got out.
Right.
And yeah, there were some elements of the company that were trying to suppress it because they didn't want to ruin their film business.
Right. Digital killed the analog.
Yeah. There. I mean, they were making a lot of money on film. You know, let's keep that gravy train charging along.
Every roll of film, we had to buy duplicates.
But the other issue is, once you've got these digital images, where are you keeping that data?
Right.
And back, you know, 50 years ago, storage was a problem, which already mentioned. Yeah. And that kind of held them back, mostly on a technical level. But in the early 90s, they actually did come out with a digital camera system. Mm-hmm. It was a dual unit. It wasn't exactly what we would call portable, but at the time it was.
So you could hybrid?
Carry it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a cute little thing, and it actually worked, and people did use it. It just didn't really take off, so they kind of ended it. And that experience then made them kind of rethink, where can we really go with this?
Right.
We gave it a shot, and it didn't really take off. But anyway, the article that I'm going to post goes into that, and it's really interesting, and it gives you an idea of the work that is involved in stuff like this, where people are inventing new things. They're taking new concepts, making them work in ways that never happened before. And, you know, there's all kinds of, it goes up and down and back and forth, and you go two steps forward and three steps back. And
now
it's
you
really
use your phone.
Interesting story.
When we were having our digital camera segments with Carmen coming on to have us learn how to use a digital camera, and all the things you could do with it. We had lots of folks calling in about it. Now, as we all predicted, it's on your phone. I mean, a digital camera really is not something you really bring around. You know, you may have a higher-end one. It's almost like it's gone such full circle that you used to have a higher-end film camera, right, that you would invest in. And then you've, of course, invested in your higher-end digital camera, which is sitting in a closet collecting dust, because most of us just use our cameras, our phones, because they take such great pictures. They really do.
They do.
So the whole industry has been turned on its head, and their cheese has been moved, but what are you going to do? This is a kind of a scary story that both Dennis and I found a little disturbing. Researcher finds a trove of 184 million exposed logins for Google, Apple, and more. This is a kind of a data scientist who's out there always looking for these types of issues. His name is Fowler, and he was able to find this huge trove of plain text, wide open email addresses and your password. He then emailed individuals to say, hey, is this your password? And they're like, yeah.
And some of them said, yeah.
Yeah, so these types of databases, somehow they have been harvested, right? So somebody's using some tool to harvest your email address
and password. Yeah, it was definitely the product of InfoStealer software that got onto people's computers.
Right. And then they put all this data in one spot.
And then they vacuum up those credentials as they're entered, and they dump them on a website or something.
Right.
We don't even know where or what yet. But the bad guys managed to stash that data.
Right. They didn't secure it.
They didn't secure it. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's part of their game. I mean, they're trying to get this stuff saved someplace really quick.
Yeah.
And encryption just makes it take longer. Right. So, you know, we're going to live with it this way, and then we'll vacuum up that data and use it for ourselves, and then we're done. Right. But apparently they either left it behind, or they were building this trove in mid-project, and this researcher found it while it was still being collected. We don't know yet.
It's been taken down.
Yep.
So here's the thing, and the reason we bring these things up for you, you must enable two-factor authentication on your logins.
Yeah.
You must, and you cannot use the same passwords on all your services, right? Because this 184 million, these are Google logins, Apple logins. If your password was password, or your password was whatever your password is, and you keep using it in other places, the bad guys now know. Let's try Dennis over here. See, Dennis always uses the password of ice cream. So I'm going to go try and figure out what bank he's banking at. Oh, his password is ice cream. It worked. Oh, funny thing. So if you don't turn on two-factor authentication and stop the bad guy from then accessing your account by having to not being able to deal with that second factor, you're literally wide open. Two-factor authentication is important in every aspect of your digital life, whether it be your email, whether it be logins to an important programs, whether it be your VPN, into your business. If you do not have two-factor authentication on, you're, again, giving the bad guys a way to try to brute force that password and get in to your system without having that second roadblock. That is so important. So 184 million logins, that's a lot of logins.
That's a ton.
So, and it's plain text for all the bad guys to see. So why do you, this is important for you guys to know. And if you're out there saying, oh, it's just more stuff being compromised, correct. But you need to protect yourself. So it's very serious. Anything else you want to bring up before we go to the break?
Well, I wanted to bring up a big business merger.
Okay.
It's coming up, and it's going to affect us. Even if you're not a customer of either of these businesses that are merging, it's going to affect you because it's going to have a ripple out to an entire industry. Cox Communications and Charter/Spectrum are merging. And that's going to join up two major broadband entities, the number two and number three broadband carriers in the country.
Right.
And cable television, too.
And they're blaming the fact that everyone's going to streaming and wah. Like
well, so here, you know what? You know why I think that's kind of baloney? Because how do you think most people in this country are getting their streams?
Right.
They're getting it from broadband internet service.
Right.
Now, they may not be buying the television carriage in addition to that people were doing 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still doing business with these companies, and they've still got a revenue stream.
Yeah.
They've still got a product that people want. They've still got a product that is needed.
Yeah. And let's hope it doesn't go through. I mean, they're offering to buy it. Yeah, it's a $34 billion offer from Cox. So clearly they have a lot of our money. I'm hoping it doesn't get allowed. You can't let this kind of consolidation occur. It has to. Then what you should be doing if you're in the legislature is figuring out how Cox and Charter can compete against each other on the same poles.
Right.
Because for some reason, you guys have designated all these nice little separate areas where they get their little monopoly. Well, if you just let them all fight on the same 40-foot piece of wood in the ground, you actually would have more options for consumers and lower costs all around. That's why GoNetSpeed is such a great thing. Thanks to GoNetSpeed, my internet costs $39.
Right.
For 500 fiber speeds, thanks to having another option. Cox was not going to give me 500 speeds for $39. They sure weren't. So this is hopefully doesn't happen. But if it does, it's just another example of this industry also having an issue trying to stick around. I would contend, let them compete, give them more access to more of the market, and they can then survive on that.
Yeah.
But who am I? I'm just a ding-a-ling. We're going to step out for a break here. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. If you want to call in with your computer comments, questions, and concerns and chat with the number two,
number two
little radio show in all of Hartford. We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, we are back. And yes, it is Memorial Day weekend. And so we're going to be here live. We are here live to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And speaking of concerns, as we wait for your calls, both of us found this story about these old Windows systems that are still running trains and probably our air traffic control system. There's a San Francisco Muni Metro system, which just until recently needed someone to pop in a floppy disk, a DOS-based train control system to get it running each morning.
Oh.
This is, you've got in San Diego, light jet printers still produce museum-grade photo prints using Windows 2000.
Ooh.
We used to talk about some of our battleships that we would have in the Navy, which would be running on Windows XP, and that was just as, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago.
Right.
The issue with this is there's a couple problems, right? Is there's less and less geeks out there that can deal with this old software. But the reason you're doing it is because XP is so friendly to being embedded into systems. So we have a lot of clients, manufacturing clients, who actually will have this embedded XP system dealing with managing their tri-axle lathe type of devices to cut their parts, right? But you can't have Windows XP and be CMMC or NIST compliant.
Well, not unless you've severed it from any other network.
Right, which of course...
In some cases, they're able to do that because all this thing is doing is running some machinery.
Right.
It doesn't need an internet connection.
It doesn't.
And or even a network connection.
The other issue, though, Dennis, as you well are aware, is when you lose your computer that's running Windows XP, what are you going to put it on?
The real problem, right? You got to replace the machine because it fails, and what do you put it on?
Yeah.
Good luck getting it to run.
They're like, Eric, make sure it's backed up. Okay. It's backed up. We have it backed up. What are you going to put it on? So you're going to have to go to eBay and find some 30-year-old computer and hope it works.
Yeah.
So there's issues there, too, when it comes to this old technology. But you shouldn't be booting up your train system on DOS, on a floppy disk, right? I mean, yes, it worked, right? And so air traffic control, I heard Brian had a guy on talking about air traffic control and the old technology they've been using. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We've talked about this, about even our own DMV here in Connecticut was they had their auditors tell them all the time their system was too old and they had no disaster recovery plan. And we see all these old systems that are running our government agencies and businesses. Not our businesses, though, our government agencies. And it's like, why would you continue to run this old system? And I would contend it's because you don't care. Right, you don't care how good a service you're offering your constituents. That's why you run the old system, and you're going to say, "Oh, there's not enough money." Well, we have, you know, gold-plated government that we're paying for. Right, it's expensive as heck, and you're telling me you can't afford a new system? It's crazy. So you should be upgrading your stuff, and if it's a 65-year-old system or a 50-year-old system like the air traffic control system is, or all the other systems that we've talked about where the DMV system was like 40 years old.
Right, it was.
I mean, come on, guys. So you shouldn't be surprised when it starts breaking down and you don't have parts. And in some cases, they're actually printing plastic parts and printing different components out of, you know, these new printers that are out there that are all latest technology printing these old parts for these systems to continue to run, which is, again, pretty ironic. Mm. But you can't tell us to deal with NIST and CMMC and deal with keeping everything up to date and current and then run your stuff on 60-year-old stuff.
Ancient hardware, yeah.
So we'll put this link up here. You can read this, but it's a BBC article.
Yep.
And just amazing that we still have stuff running the way it is on this super, super old stuff. So we are here until 11. If you've got some super old stuff, you like I said, no, just kidding. Feel free to get online. We're here to help you out. And again, we thank you so much. We should bring up too, Mike G. Mike G, we wouldn't be number two without you too, buddy.
Mike G holds this show together. You guys have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be a smoking crater if not for Mike G.
So he's a major part of the reason we're number two. And, of course, all the great producers we've had here for over the 30 years. And Carolyn, the latest one to deal with us.
She knocks it out of the park every time.
She does. So all those great producers and all you guys voting for us, we're tickled by it. We can't believe you did it, but we appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We could probably let this run longer than normal because it's 100 years old, so we're probably good, right? I'm just kidding. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We are live. I'm back from the free state of Florida. Sorry, I had to take a week off. If I didn't, my wife would divorce me. So we're back and here to help you with your computer problems. And if you happen to be working with Coinbase and crypto...
Coinbase?
Yeah.
Why would I be working with Coinbase?
You wouldn't be. I wouldn't be. But there's lots of ding-dongs that do. And they were recently hacked by the bad guys actually paying insiders at Coinbase to give up access.
Wait, you mean to tell me that insiders at companies like this can actually be bought off by bad guys?
Yep. Probably for $1,000 in a burrito. And so there you go. You get access to this admin's account for whatever they paid you. And here the problem with Coinbase is there's no FDIC insurance on fake money. It is none whatsoever. So they are now finding, along with the being trying to be extorted, 20 million simoleons, otherwise known as real fake money, you know, the actual greenbacks, they're now having to make people whole because the bad guys got the information about the accounts, not the actual logins and what have you, but the actual people, and then reached out to folks that were using Coinbase and tricked them into having them send their fake crypto money to the bad guys to the tune of nearly $400 million worth of fake money. And so now Coinbase has to come up with actual money to reimburse the folks whose fake money was stolen. You can't make this stuff up, right? This is I can't believe I'm saying it, right? It's like, so just take Bitcoin and turn it into Beanie Babies. So the bad guys tricked the Beanie Baby holders into shipping their Beanie Babies to them. And now the Beanie Baby exchange has to pay the people who were holding the Beanie Babies $400 million actual dollars.
I hardly know what to say.
I know. It's the craziest thing. So enjoy your crypto and your Bitcoin. I know it's worth it. You're going to say, Eric, it's worth $109,000. Okay, well, you sell it. If you all sold it, guess what it'd be worth? The same amount what a Beanie Baby is worth right now.
Yeah, zero.
Zero. So it's worthless. It produces nothing. There's no interest. It doesn't build anything. It doesn't invest in anything. It's just literally like investing in Beanie Babies.
It doesn't even have an industrial use like things like gold or diamonds.
Right. And industrially, it actually costs us more and energy and heat and all the cost to have you mine this stupid stuff. If you're an environmentalist, I'm sorry, but we're firing up all the nuke plants.
We got to.
Got to keep the cryptocurrency going and all the AI going. So sorry, your hope of a candle-powered world is gone. This will be up. We'll put the link up here to the story, but I don't know what to tell you. Now, in other news in the same context, I was meeting with the firehouse yesterday, a potential client. And the reason they were meeting with me is because they had an issue with email. Their email was compromised, Microsoft 365, of course. And the bad guys got in their email system and start sending out email messages to other firehouses, even military organizations, with an attachment. And what does the attachment need you to do, Dennis?
Download and run something?
No, in this case, it just asks you to put in your credentials.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? So now the bad guys are harvesting your Microsoft 365 credentials if you're a recipient of this email. And if you're silly enough to not realize that you already are logged in to the email system, you shouldn't need to add more credentials. Uh-huh. You're already in it, guy.
Yeah.
So if you ever are asked for your credentials
Stop.
Of your email system, it's like me asking you what your password is. Why do you think I do that? You already are logged in. Why would you think the system needs you to log in again for anything? come on, man. The car is started. So it's like somebody's telling you to start your car again. Would you do that?
No.
Wouldn't be a good thing. So that this now Firehouse is going to go ahead and get professional IT services because, of course, there's technologies that we can provide that protect your tenant, your Microsoft 365 tenant. It can actually watch the tenant for you for the kind of activity that obviously happened to have the bad guy get into your tenant. And without those things in place. Also, we would prevent you from clicking on the URL in the first place because we would have a web defense technology in place. So you couldn't go to the malicious link.
Right. You would be stopped.
So all these technologies need to be put in place by people who know what they're doing. And this Firehouse is realizing that after the fact. Right? It's kind of like putting a smoke detector in the house after it burned down. But at least you're thinking about doing it now before any more fires occur in the cybersecurity world for you, which is a good thing. So, all right, let's get to your calls. We have somebody who is on the phone here. We've got Betty in West Hartford. What's happening, Betty? Betty, you there?
Yes, I am.
What can we do for you?
Well, you know, I think computers should say user beware, but thank you guys.
They really should.
It's a simple little thing. Yeah. It's just a display. Everything on my computer are shades of gray. I don't know what happened. And so I'm kind of like pushing things on the setting and getting nowhere.
So you're no longer in color?
No.
So you're now just a black and white screen.
Is this a laptop or a desktop?
It's a laptop, an HP.
Okay, HP laptop went gray.
Has that ever, is that like weirdo?
It's unusual. You either turned on a setting or you're in some sort of twilight zone where it goes black and white.
I think I am. It just happened suddenly. And then I went to the display to see if I could do, on the settings to see if I could change it. Yeah. And I can't.
I can't even recall a setting that would tell you to go to monochrome from color.
Isn't that weird?
We used to sell monochrome monitors and color monitors.
Right.
But that's 15, 20 years ago. So do you even know of a setting, Dennis?
I'm sorry?
I don't know if there's a setting that just sets the monitor to grayscale.
Yeah. And so it could be that you could have a failing monitor. Do you have another monitor you could plug into your computer just to see?
I have another laptop that I could probably do that if that's what you mean.
No. I want to have an external monitor plugged into the HDMI port of that laptop just to see if it's pushing out color.
Oh
yeah.
There
is a setting?
There is a setting.
Oh, for crying out loud. Why would you have a setting like that?
I don't know. Yeah. What you do is you go into your settings app in Windows and you go to accessibility.
Oh, that makes sense.
Accessibility. Hang on. You know what? I did say to your wonderful person who answered the phone,
Carolyn,
can just kind of tell me. I'll take notes because this could take a lifetime. Okay, I'm into accessibility.
Yeah. And makes sense now.
You go into accessibility. There's a section called color filters.
And color filters.
One of the options is grayscale. You'll have to pick another option.
Right.
Let me see what there is for that.
All the colorblind folks out there, including my own son, are saying, Dad, come on. This is why you want to put it in grayscale, because I can't see the colors anyway. So let's go with the better resolution, or not resolution, but the ability to look at different aspects if you can't see certain
colors. You know, I think
colors.
I did go here, but nothing seemed to kind of...
Yeah, what you're going to do is probably turn off the color filters feature, because when you get into accessibility into the color filters item, there's an on-off slider over to the right, and if you turn that on, then you have a bunch of other choices. One of them is grayscale. I'm betting that got turned on for you somehow. Yeah.
It was on.
Yeah.
The color filter on-off button was on.
All right.
Okay. Well, turn that off.
Okay.
That'll kill the whole problem.
You're kidding.
Well, we're not kidding.
Let me see. Should I get out of this setting place now?
You can just close that setting window.
Okay. Hang on.
And it should go back to color right away. If it doesn't, you might want to reboot.
Oh, man. I can't believe you guys. Well, of course, I should know.
It's like the Wizard of Oz, right? When they start in grayscale and now it's in color.
Let me just see. I know. You can tell. I'm sitting here at the kitchen table. Oh, wow.
Hey, there you go. You're welcome.
Oh, man. I tell everyone about you guys, and I thought, I'm just going to stick back to the 1950s gray, you know, gray yeah. shades of gray. Yeah.
And to think a minute ago, I didn't even know that that setting was there.
No. It makes
I just
sense.
Knew
I,
that it had
I
to
was
be there.
There. Yeah. I mean, I was spending time yesterday in all these different setting places trying to figure it all out. Look, in a snap. You guys are awesome. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Betty.
And you're great. And you make me laugh in the kitchen.
That's awesome. We're happy to do so.
All right. You take care now.
You too. Bye-bye. If you saw me cooking, you'd laugh in the kitchen too. But no, yeah, I didn't even cross my mind if the accessibility. It does make sense. If you're colorblind, you're going to maybe want to use grayscale rather than colors because you may not be able to see an entire
right,
color.
Because you might miss something otherwise.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense, but I've never come across it ever in my lifetime. So before we have more calls coming in, Dennis, you wanted to bring up something that a scam is going around?
Yeah. This is something that some corporations have been warning their employees about.
Yep.
It's a Social Security Administration email that you will receive, and it includes an attachment or a download link. Either way, it triggers the installation of remote access software on the computer.
Ooh, that's bad.
Which is very bad. And that seems to be the goal of the scam, just to get onto people's computers.
Right. So if it looks like it's coming from the Social Security Administration...
Yes.
And you didn't ask for
it's
it.
It's telling you that you've got a statement available and and you have to
click
either
here.
Open the attachment to get it or click a link.
Right. I mean, we all know the Social Security Administration is broke anyway, so don't bother opening anything they're going to send you.
Well, here's what I would tell people to do.
Yeah.
Don't open any emails like this. Go to Social Security Administration on the web. I think the address is... SSA.gov.
It sounds like it is.
And
I agree.
From there, you do whatever you need to create your ID, get onto that system, and you know, have your own access.
Right.
But then always go there from that bookmark.
Right.
Type in SSA.gov and go there from there. Never click on a link that you see anywhere else.
Can't trust them anymore, guys.
Well, it's not Social Security you can't trust. You can't trust the stuff that's coming at you.
No, that's what I'm saying. You inferred that I said that it was Social Security.
Well, I just want to be clear what we're talking about here.
Well, we really can't trust that either.
But, that's another question.
We're going to step out for a quick break. Greg, hang on in Rocky Hill. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. There you go. We're here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 on this lovely Memorial Day weekend in the 50s. What is up with that?
No, please.
Come on. But we're here to help you out. We've come up from our basements. We're a couple of pasty white computer geeks in here. You can check us out on the old Facebooks. I can't get the YouTubes going. I don't know why. And just forgive me. I don't know why. I mean, it says the stream is excellent.
Well, yeah.
It literally says excellent, but it's black screen. I don't have to tell you. I'm not sure how YouTube thinks that's excellent, but it's not. I'm sure it's user error on my fault, on my part. But I'm just like you guys. I'm a user.
True.
No different than anybody else. So we are live on the Facebooks if you want to check us out there. And of course, if you want to be part of the Computer Talk with Tab listener network, basically you just ask us and we get all the posts that we have here. So Mike G is posting everything to our Facebook page and to our X account at Tab Computer Sys. So you don't have to remember the articles we're talking about. They're right there for you. The Computer Talk with Tab listener network, we just ask you to join because we were trying to avoid the bots, right? We don't want to have any kind of spam or stuff like that happened to you guys. So that's all that is. And then, of course, Dennis posts everything live while we're doing the show to computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Now let's get to Greg in Rocky Hill next to see what we can help him with. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Yes, good morning, Eric and Dennis. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I have a couple, hopefully, quick questions.
All right.
The first one is... going to get a new laptop,
yep.
Windows. Now that I have your specs that you recommend. Now the second new question is, do you recommend one that advertises the Windows Copilot Plus?
It's up to you if you want to pay for that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to pay extra for it, okay? But, you know, if you want to try it out, go ahead. If you're if you're not into it, then don't bother. I mean, we don't consider it a requirement.
No. It's, I think there's an annual cost to it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the premium.
That is the premium service. There are some features of Copilot that are actually built into the machine, and there's no charge for that. But again, then again, you're paying for that in the hardware when you buy it, too. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, either it's take it or leave it for us. That's all.
So it comes down to your wallet.
Is it, I guess, considered safe?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. We don't know what they're harvesting or learning by being on your computer.
Well, technically, they can harvest anything that's on the computer.
I know.
In the first place. So even to an extent, that question is almost moot. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you have this Copilot thing there that might be doing additional stuff that they could harvest. They can still harvest everything else on there. So.
And even the recall features that's out there is another thing that we've been worrying about for a while. They've offered it and then taken it away and offered it again, which is like an ongoing recording of everything you're doing to help you remember what you were doing. That's why they say they're doing it for you. AI is going to be very helpful to everybody. So if you want to be more forward thinking, you should consider any AI tool you want that's out there, because you need to either learn it or have it pass you by, right? You don't want to be left behind. But
that was my thought.
Yeah.
It was just a question of whether it's still early in its development.
It is.
It is. It definitely is.
It's just a question of how much you're giving up of whatever information you're putting into it that you're okay with. And we just don't know. We don't know what they're being trained on. And there's been lots of controversial articles about what the AI has been trained on that people either weren't aware of. And Microsoft, I'm not sure if it was Microsoft or Google, but one of the major companies was actually, you know, reading books, right? Taking the past books and just ingesting them into their large language models.
I think that was OpenAI.
One of the three. And you know, these people are pretty upset about it, that we're writing the books. Hey, like, why are you doing that? It's none of your, you know. And now all of a sudden you just go ahead and do an AI thing as, hey, I want to create a story about, and the AI is like, oh, sure, we've got it all here for you. You can be just as good as whoever your favorite author is that they've stolen from. So, but I hope that helps you, Greg.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Just the second question is now, what's your opinion on YubiKey as a MFA?
Didn't hear what you said there. We have to go to a break at the bottom of the hour. Can we have you come back after the break? Is that okay?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We're going to hold Greg over the break, and we'll talk about YubiKeys. I love YubiKeys.
Yeah, they're great.
Great security. And then Dave and Cromwell, we'll get to you as well. So stick around through the news. Two lines open for you, 860-522-9842. Yeah, eventually we'll bring back Karen and Bob, I guess, for an appearance to see if their AI has anything improved. But there's an app out now for Notebook LM. Did you hear about that?
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
So maybe we'll have them back too. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.